Guys, we're more serious. That is it bothering you for me to preach while holding a stuffed animal? Yes, no. Some of us. I made it. Good. He's okay. He's not alive. but some of us are more serious by nature, and some of us are more fun-loving, and there's a tension when those two get together, as you saw there. It's difficult, and we were singing a song a minute ago, and one of the lines was, I lay down all lesser things for greater things. But I wonder what the lesser things are. Now, as you go from person to person, what might seem significant to another is completely insignificant to else. I'm going to to the handheld. We'll just go with the handheld today. So what are the lesser things? Because what matters to one person doesn't matter to somebody else. What is very serious to one person is not serious to somebody else. Have you ever had encounters with someone where you're thinking, you really take this seriously? And in your head, you're thinking, it doesn't matter. But it does to them. Or have you ever had encounters where you're thinking, you just don't get how serious this is? And you're thinking in your head there's something wrong with them. They just don't get how serious this is. And there's a tension between the two. And something that's going to help illustrate this for us, go to Matthew 18 if you have a Bible with you, Matthew chapter 18. And I sense that some of what the Lord might have me share with you today might be challenging, and maybe not. Have you ever had moments where you felt in the spirit something's wrong? You ever had that before? Something's wrong, and I had that in the middle of the night, overnight. Something's wrong. It might be something in my family. It might be something unrelated to church. But I had that sense something's wrong. And we as a church, when people come to me when they're new, they will often tell me how much they love the people. That you guys are friendly, you're loving, you're welcoming, you're attentive. And so you guys are great people. And do you ever feel like there's a butt coming? There is, but it's not a bad butt. But you guys are amazing. In fact, when we talk with other pastors that we know and hear stories of their church, we just think how grateful we are of the church that we have. In our series that we've been walking through, People of the Spirit, and next week we'll wrap this up and then dive into something different. But one of the things I've been pointing out for you is that we are a lopsided church. We have certain types of personalities and tendencies heavy on one end and not so heavy on the other. And one of those is we are a more serious-minded church, which is not a bad thing per se. It's just we sometimes miss out on the lighthearted-ness that I hear voices. You hear that? The lighthearted, I told you this is going to be a weird service, I guess. The lightheartedness that is needed to uplift us, to elevate us out of the lower end, the negative, dark emotions. We need some of that kind of experience. And Jesus mentions in Matthew 18, when he has an encounter with children, he says, Matthew 18, verse 1, at that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. We are called to be childlike, not necessarily childish, but childlike. And I think sometimes we lose that. When we become adults, we lose some of the childlike qualities that we need. And sometimes we see that when kids are having fun, we try to stamp that out sometimes. You know, will you stop that? Like just Dr. Marvin just did a minute ago. Will you stop that? We try to settle people down. You got to get serious and you got to take things serious. And no, you don't need to play so much or get so rambunctious. And sometimes that is true. But do you ever wonder if we swung a pendulum when we became adults? We became too serious and lacking some of those fun-loving qualities that we we need to have to be the type of person who Jesus says enters the kingdom of heaven. To enter the kingdom of heaven, you must become like a child. Well, what is that, to become like a child? The innocence that they have, the ability they have to delight in life in the smallest things. I mean, you buy this magnificent toy for a child, and you know what they'll do? They will play with the box a lot of times because they could take anything and make it a toy, or a boy can take any girlish toy and make it into a weapon, right? Kids can just find a way to have fun and enjoy life, and sometimes we don't get that. And the reason why I'm sharing that with you is because today we're going to talk about the joy lens. And this is the lens that very few in our midst see the world through this lens. That doesn't mean that we're not happy. Doesn't mean that we don't have fun. Because many people think when they hear this lens, they think, oh, that's me. You know, I'm fun-loving. I like people, and I like doing things. Yeah, all of us do. But this person more than any of the rest of you. And my wife sees the world through this lens. And when she's home, everything's great and happy and fun. And when she's gone, she goes on retreat sometimes during the weekends. And when she's not there, it's like, it makes me think of a song. Go ahead, Tori, play that song. It makes me think of this song. In fact, I usually sing it when she's gone.
It's not warm when she's away. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. And she's always gone too long. Anytime she goes away.
That's good, Tori. And I do literally sing that song sometimes when she's not there, because you can feel what's left the house when she's gone, because the joyless people are the joy bomb of this particular personality typing system. They just are happy all the time. They love life. And then when she comes back, it makes me think of another song. Go ahead, Tori. If she can get it. There it goes. Go. All right, Tori. And yes, when I asked her to marry me, she did say yes. But literally, I'm telling you, when she's not in the house, because I'm more on the serious nature side of things. I can have fun and all that stuff, but it's not the same when she's not there. Because she brings this energy to the atmosphere like nobody else can. And if you know the joyless people, and I don't think we have too many of them, this particular type, among us. And the problem with that is we might be able to get down and get serious. We might be able to get things accomplished and do things. But we don't have the excitement and the joy and the energy that comes with people who see the world through this lens. They're the type of people that they have 3 million friends, because everywhere you go, everybody knows them. In fact, when I go places, I'm not Danny. I'm Heather's husband. Because these people just are moving from person to person. They know everybody. They are... And I try to think of the best fictional type characters to use to demonstrate the joylens type people. But unfortunately, when they're typified in movies, they're overly kid-like. But that's really kind of their nature. They're very kid-like. In fact, they probably love the Toys R Us song, "I Don't Want to Grow Up, I'm a Toys R Us Kid." Or the Lost Boys and Peter Pan, never gonna grow up. And in fact... what happens with joylens people, because they're always looking for the most exciting, most thrilling, most colorful, most anticipated next thing. They're just, oh, in fact, one time someone I know was in the midst of vacation and began to think about how great next vacation would be, because they're always living, they have a hard time being in the present. They're always living in the state of anticipation. I got to have something. That's why they're in the head triad. I got to have something that's exciting to look forward to next. And they are constantly reframing everything that they experience. They're the master optimist. They can turn everything into a positive. And when you talk to them, I mean, it's like there's silver linings flying everywhere. Everything's just amazing. And it can be the most awful thing, and they'll find some way to make it a very good and happy thing. And it makes me think of Peter Pan. Because Peter Pan, when he had that moment where he was going to go into experience and he thought, I could die. And he's faced with that reality, that scary reality of I could die. And you know what? He thought for a second, you know what he said? Death. That would be the greatest adventure of all. Because they're always looking to make it positive. And sometimes what happens is when they interact with those of us who are not always reframing things to the positive, and we experience something that's difficult together, they make it a positive, and the rest of us are going, wait. You just turned that thing into positive, and the rest of us needed to be sad about that for a moment. The rest of us needed the grief for a moment, and you just made that a positive. And they do it because they don't like the negative emotions. And they've learned to be, they're in school, they're the class clowns. They make everybody laugh and those sort of things. And they become a master of pulling out the positive, but they're doing it because they're running from the negative things. And they because they run from person to person and thing to thing, sometimes what happens, because they're so optimistic, they will unintentionally offend you. Because they're not easily offended. Things just don't bother them, so it's not on their radar. So something that, because of the way it was said, it made someone else take offense to it. They didn't even notice that you took offense to it. And you're thinking they're a mean person. And they just didn't even realize, oh, I didn't know that was a touchy thing. Because they're not looking for touchy. And they don't recognize it. And sometimes what happens is when you tell them, when you point out that you hurt their feelings, sometimes if they get a little fleshly, they'll want to respond as if you're being trivial. And they're doing it because if you're confronting them, you're bringing them to a negative space, and I don't want to go there. And so they try to figure out how to, again, reframe and make this a positive experience. But understand that they are the most forgiving people that you will meet. If you apologize to them, it almost doesn't matter what you've done to them. They'll let it go because they're childlike. Aren't kids like that? Sometimes you could do the dumbest thing with a child, and you apologize, and they're like, oh, okay. Because that's how they are. And the joyless people, they're just overly forgiving. So they're confused by you sometimes because they don't understand why you're so upset. Because for them, it's like, all right, you know, so we said that bothered us. Let's move on and let's go find something else that's more exciting. And sometimes they could offend you because when they're talking with you, if they're fleshly, if they're struggling with maturity, you will notice that at some point in the conversation, they're not actually talking with you anymore. They're looking for the next person to go talk to because there are other people here, and I got to make sure I don't leave before I experience all of them. I got to have fun with everybody that's here because this is great, and I got to be with other people. And so they're so focused with other people that they miss sight of that. If you have someone like the helper that just needs you to need them, the Joylands people kill them all the time. Because they're like, can you just stay with me and just only me the whole time? And then the Joylands person is thinking, I got to get out of here because there's more fun things around here. And the helper's like, no, do you hate me? Come on, come back here. And it's just like this tug of war begins to happen. But these people just bring life to things and energy and excitement. Wouldn't you rather be happy than sad? You know, I think some of us fall prey to, I don't remember who said this, but someone, and I quoted this before, someone once said that melancholy is the happiness of being sad. You know, some of us just delight in being sad and maybe we don't know it. And we need the Joylands people in our lives to make us be happy. Don't you want to be happy? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I'd rather be happy than sad, right? But sometimes when the Joylands people show up in our environment, we go, you know, they're a little too bubbly, you know. And sometimes they get falsely accused of being ditzy or flighty. And people don't realize that the Joylands people sometimes are some of the most intelligent people that there are. They just don't care to show how much they know as much as we do. They just don't care to take things as seriously as we do. And so they just rather have fun. They know a lot of stuff, and they're smart. And a lot of times they're very perceptive with people. They can read people well because they're constantly interacting with people and they have a lot of experience in interacting with people. But we miss their intelligence because we're paying so much attention to the antics and to the pleasure and the joys that they're doing. And could you imagine a church that's filled with people who love life, just rejoicing all the time, can make people excited and having fun? Don't you hate when you go out to dinner with a group of people and all of them are serious and quiet? Because then you're sitting here thinking, all right, I got to say something. Nobody else is saying anything. I got to say something. This is like driving me crazy. It's so quiet here. We're just staring at each other. And the Joylands people, you will never have to worry about that. There will always be something to be said. There will always be something funny to think about. And we imagine having a church filled with people who bring that kind of life and the energy and the attractiveness that is there. We need all the different types of people. We need the people that can fix the messes. We need the people that can fight and be scrappy and defend. We need the people who can see all the dangers and help us prevent some things. We need the people who can make people feel ministered to. We need the people that can make things look great. We need the people who can make things fun. Did you know that God likes fun? Did you know that? I think sometimes God has fun with us. Have you ever had interactions with God where you stepped back and you thought, you're making fun of me, aren't you? Have you ever had that? I've had that before. I thought, you're teasing me here, because God has a sense of humor. You can see that in the Bible at times. God has a sense of humor. And these people, again, they're running from thing to thing. And the thing that looks similar between them and others, and this is where we want to figure out the difference between them and some of the rest of us. If you're looking at a joy with a power lens person, both of them are incredibly social and outgoing. You'll always see them talking to people, but they're talking to people for different reasons. The power lens people are talking to people so that they can figure out how to get in control. They're motivated more by getting in control of things, and so they'll talk as much as they can to get in control of situations. Where the joy lens people, they're just talking just because this is fun. I like talking with people. That's their pure motivation. Joy with the peace lens, both of them have a people-pleasing type mentality, but the peace lens person is being people-pleasing, trying to be pleasing to others so that you won't get mad at them. Okay? The joy lens person is trying to be pleasing to others so that you'll still want to have fun with them. Right? So it's just looks the same but different motivations. Is it ever scary sometimes to look deeply within your heart and to think through, why am I doing these things and what is driving me, even the good things? The joy lens with the perfectionists, the things they have in common is both of them could be in pursuit of pleasure, but the joy lens person can do it without getting their work done first. The perfectionist will have a lot of fun as long as they get their list done first. Now I'm ready to have fun. And sometimes the perfectionist finds joy in doing the work. The joy lens person almost never finds joy in doing the work. They just got to get through it and get past it, or maybe just not do it at all. The joy lens person with the helper, both of them are highly emotional and highly demonstrative in the way they express their emotions. But they are excited not because of the same reason. The helper is excited because they're feeling your feelings. They're excited because you're excited. They're excited because they get to get intimate with somebody. The joy lens person, they're just excited because of sheer glee and excited. Just want to be excited. That just kind of ruminates within them. The joy lens person, similarity between them and the glory lens person is both of them have an amazing ability to make people like them. Most of the time when you encounter them, you think, I really like that person. But the glory lens person is doing it because they're trying to figure out how to be admired by you. The joy lens person is doing it just because they're just fun. I love Bill Murray. I tend to think that he's probably like that in real life. He's just always fun. And the joy lens person, you just like them because they are likable. You know, the glory lens, they're performing for you, but the joy lens people, they're fun all the time. And I can tell you about that with Heather. She's just fun all the time. Unless the kids push enough buttons and then maybe some of that joy goes out the window. But the joy lens is similar to the unique lens in that they both love variety. They love the spice of life. But the unique lens person loves variety because they need that to make them feel like they're special. With a joy lens person, they seek variety just because it's entertaining. That's really what they're after. The joy lens person's similarity with the observer, which really there's not a lot of similarities between the joy lens and the observer. They're very different. But they're both very creative. Very creative, come up with a lot of creative ideas. It's just the observer wants to do it all just by thinking about it and not actually touching it. The joy lens person wants to experience it and be out there and be a part of those things. The similarities between them and the caution lens, both of them will be found with people almost all the time. The caution lens will be found with usually the same group. The joy lens will be found with different people all the time. Everywhere they go, they find a new group of people to hang out with. And you could see that by if you were to look at the number of friends Heather has on Facebook. You can see that's a joy lens person. And I will never catch up to her. She will always have thousands more friends than I do. But we need that, don't we? Some of us that are more introspective and more disciplined and more reserved might have some depth to offer people. But if we don't have contact with people, who are we going to offer it to? And so we need the joy people. We need the power people. We need glory people, the outgoing people to go out and bring the people to us who can do the hard work. That us hard workers will be, and not that they don't work hard, joylens people, but us hard workers, we will love to do the hard work for you if you'll just give it to us. You know, especially some of the help. Any of you like that? If someone would just tell you that the work that needs to be done, wouldn't you be glad to do it? Any of you like that? Okay, I'm taking volunteers, so I'm just taking these. Let's see who's raising their hands. Their differences or the conflict or the tension that they experience with others is when you see the joy with the power lens, the conflict that will happen is the power lens person will feel like you're not in control. You need to be reined in. Sometimes they get irritated, not because I'm not controlling them, but because they're not in control of their own life. You know, you need to be able to control your house better. You need to be able to control your finances better. And it drives them nuts to see someone who's just like, just don't really care about those things like you do. And I lay down all lesser things for greater things. The joy lens people might need to lay down some of the pursuits of fun and pleasure to take some serious roads. And us serious people, sometimes we need to let go of some things that we hold so tightly to and just take it a little more lightly. And that's the message that the joy lens person and the child will give us is, can you just lighten up a little bit? That's what they're telling us. Can you just lighten up a little bit? And the powerless person, it drives them nuts because, no, you got to take this seriously. You got to be in control. And the joyless person is thinking, you're limiting me. You know, if you keep trying to hem me in with all the things that need to be in control, then I can't go out there and experience that stuff. Their conflict with the peace lens is that they are both the peace lens person would love to just stay at home. And the joy lens wants to get out of there and go somewhere else and have fun. Peace lens will be more of a homebody. The conflict between the perfectionist and the joy lens, not that I know anything about this, and I'm the perfectionist lens, is that the perfectionist wants to fix things first and then have fun. The joy lens person wants to just forget about life and have fun. And so what happens is you have the perfectionist saying, no, we can't do that yet because we got to take care of this first. And they're like, nah, it'll be there tomorrow. Let's just go have fun. And the perfectionist is thinking, you don't care about me, do you? This needs to get done. We can't go have fun. And they'll get resentful and think, I can't believe everybody else is going out there having fun and I'm the only one that's taking this seriously. And both of us need to learn from each other. The perfectionist needs to learn to just let it go sometimes. It's okay that the mess is there. It's okay that thing's still not fixed. And the joy lens person needs to learn how to be a little bit more serious at times from that person. The conflict between them and the helper, I kind of demonstrated that earlier. Let me help you versus let me get away. Okay, the helper is, I want you to need me. I want you to be there with me. I want to help you. I want to be supportive of you. And the joy lens person is like, you don't need to help me. Just, you know, let me go play, all right? Let me get away. And that kind of creates a little tension between the two of them. The joy lens person and the glory lens, the conflict between them is pleasure and work. The glory lens tends to be the workaholic. They have to constantly work because they're the achievers. They're the performance-oriented, success-oriented. They got to accomplish. And the joy lens person is just thinking, That's boring. Why do you got to keep doing that all the time? Let's just go have fun. And I'm telling you that some of you, the Holy Spirit's message to you is learn to have fun. I think that there are some people in this room that you struggle with depression because you don't know how to have fun. I don't mean sin. And I don't mean the fleshly pleasures of this life. But some of you, you need to just learn how to loosen up and have fun. The pastor I used to work for, he used to make fun of me because I hated having the top button unbuttoned. Because I would lose control. Because sometimes if you leave the top button unbuttoned, it kind of, the shirt does things and it's not where in the proper place. So I just got fed up and would just keep it buttoned. Well, he met me and he would create phrases about people to help him remember people's names. You know what he called me? I didn't know this till years later. Button up Danny. Because I tend to like to be straight laced and button up and have things together. And why was I saying that? Oh, because some of us need to learn to loosen up, and it's harder for some of us than others. And the Joylands people, we need more of them, because I think our tendency will be, if the Joylands people shows up, is to try to scare them into seriousness or scare them into getting disciplined or scare them out of here. Unintentionally, maybe. But I'm telling you, the Joylands person, if they show in and it's not a party, we might not ever see them again. And it doesn't mean that we have to party all the time. It doesn't mean that we can't ever be serious. But some of us, I think we need to let loose sometimes and figure out how to, because isn't the Holy Spirit free? Doesn't it say the Holy Spirit that he is like the wind? You do not know where it blows. And some of us need the freedom that the Joylands can teach us. I'm thankful that I have Heather in my life, because I don't know how rigid I might have been if I wasn't married to someone like her. Amen. You may be dismissed. We'll see you next week. Thank you from our power lens person over there. But listen, because we all bear the image of God. Listen to the message that each one of us are displaying. Not the message that's ungodly, not the message that's unbiblical, but listen to the way each of us reflect God's image. The conflict between them and the unique lens is... The joy lens is all sunshine and roses, and the unique lens has the dark cloud over them, because they love living in the gloom and the dark emotions of life, and the joy lens loves to be happy. And so what do you think they do when they encounter the person who wants to be moody and sad? Lighten up. Come on. Let's just have fun here. What's wrong with you? And just an FYI, don't ever say to the unique lens person, what's wrong with you? Because of their emotions. They're not going to take too fondly of that. And a joy lens person will not think that that's insensitive. It just won't cross their mind unless they've learned to develop that in themselves. But the unique lens person does need to just pull themselves out of that pit sometimes. And sometimes you need a little dose of Heather in your life in order to have that pulled out of you. Stop fighting against things that are you. I said that wrong. Yeah, no, I might have said it right. Stop trying to stop the things that really are the things that you care about, not the things that God cares about. I lay down all lesser things for greater things. So the question is going to be for us is going to have different answers for each one of us. Because for you, maybe it's that you need to let go of your unwillingness to face serious things, work hard, and be disciplined. For the others of you, you need to learn how to let go of some of us, if we were to write out a list of all the things we care about, it might be a paper that would go all the way down this aisle, the things that we think need to be taken seriously. And some of us, there are things that we just need to learn to let go of. And it's hard for some of us because we merge it with Scripture. We merge it with the Spirit. That's why I've been giving us the Scriptures of what these types will focus on in the Scripture, because we can make the Scripture lopsided. You can make the Scripture say almost anything you want to if you take things out in isolation and out of context. And we need to learn, what is it that I need to let go of in order to have joy, in order to have life, in order to accomplish, in order to achieve and be disciplined, to be serious, and to have the joy of the Lord. I need to learn these things. The conflict between them and the observer is the flighty versus the stale. The observer will tend to think that the joylens person is flighty, and the joylens person will think that the observer is boring and stale. And the joylens person, this is their temptation, is they have a hard time. If they find your interest boring, you will figure it out, because they'll have a hard time hiding it on their face and the things that they might be trying not to offend you, but they're bored out of their minds, and they will show it. And they need to figure out how to become interested in things that don't interest them for the sake of the observer. And the observer needs to figure out how to just be a little excited sometimes, be a little emotional. The joy lens versus the caution lens is worry about it versus don't worry about it, which drives the caution lens person crazy when the joy lens person says, don't worry about it. We mean don't worry about it. We could die if we don't get the chlorine right in the pool, we could die. Right, Carol? Where is she? Right? If the pH, if the chlorine isn't right, we could all die. And they just get more aggressive on bringing about safety when someone is saying, don't worry about it. And the more aggressive they get, what do you think the joy lens person does? I'm going to go hang out with somebody else now because this is getting a little too scary. And we experience all of these types of relational conflicts all the time. And because we're people of spirit, most of the time we are thinking bad thoughts of those people that are different than us. They shouldn't be like that. You know, they should be more like me. We wouldn't dare say they should be more like me, but we're feeling it. They should act more like me. They need to be as serious as I am. Usually, we want people to be, it's almost like we're the measure of seriousness. If someone's more serious than me, then they're too serious. And if someone's not as serious as me, then they're not serious enough. When really, who is it that we're supposed to imitate? Not Heather, not Cindy, not Molly, not Elmer, not Dan, not Joni, not Betty Jo, not Steve, not Evo, not anybody else but who? Jesus is who we're supposed to imitate. So what if I'm not the joylens person? I have some advice for you if you are interacting with a joylens person, and I am an expert at this since I'm married to one. Sympathize with their need for excitement and pleasure and entertainment. And remember that you have a need also. Yours is just a different need. Okay, so before you judge them for pursuing the emotional need that they have, remember that you, every bit as much as them, have an emotional need. It's just a different one. Don't underestimate their intelligence. Just because they're fun-loving doesn't mean they're smart. Heather could probably run intellectual circles around me, particularly in the fields of science and math. In effect, if you've ever, then maybe I'm just really bad. English, hey, wait a minute. See, I told you they're insensitive. Because now I feel so sad. but in fact, they can, because they're so energetic and intellectual, if you let them have it the wrong way, they could put you in your place in a heartbeat. Because again, they could run circles around people. You just don't know it because they don't care to prove it to you. Some of us, we have to prove our intelligence, which might say something about our intelligence. Let them bring joy and creativity into your life. Don't kill it. Just because it's not serious, don't stifle it. Just because I remember being involved in a church that it felt like that was their goal, was to stifle lightheartedness, to get it out as much as they could, because we need to be very, very serious. And I would hate to think that heaven is that way. Wouldn't you hate to think of heaven that way? As if we live in a monastery? You know, we're just walking around singing chants all the time and just have a solemn look on our face? I would hate to think the heaven's like that. But sometimes we think that the only way to be spiritual is to be very serious. And sometimes I find myself laughing with God. And I hope that you have too. Because God loves joy and loves laughter. If you are a Joylens person, some advice for you. One, a suggested book, read the book Atomic Habits. That is Atomic Habits. That is a book on how to establish habits in your life, especially if you're the type of person who's not very disciplined and you don't tend to get things done. This book has done great dividends for Heather, so I encourage you to read it. Also, work on being in the present. Try your hardest to not let your mind just constantly chase after the future. Enjoy the moment. Enjoy the moment. Feel through your suffering. Don't avoid it. You see, again, the motivation for a Joylens person is they're trying to avoid negative emotions and negative experiences. And those are the things that give us the greatest depth and maturity in life. Doesn't the Bible say that? We grow the most through our suffering. And if you're always avoiding suffering, then you never learn the lessons. And so allow yourself to sometimes sit in the midst of that pity party, in the midst of that grieving, in the midst of that pain and that work, because it could become the greatest teacher. Keep in mind that you tend to overlook people. As much as you're pursuing fun, just be careful, because sometimes you're overlooking people because the helper will spot the person who's not making a lot of noise, but the Joylens person might be hard for them to find them. And discipline yourself to see everybody and let people be serious and down. Don't always reframe everything to a positive. And that's the kind, you guys don't believe it of me, but I'm naturally a pessimist. And that's usually a running tension with Heather and I, is I'm looking for the negative side of things and she's looking for the positive side of things. And you know what needs to happen? We need to sit in the middle somewhere. And that's what the Lord wants for all of us, is we need to find a way to sit in the middle somehow. So the favorite verses, actually biblical characters I think of, and again, sorry, Heather, they're more on a negative end, but I tried to find, it's just, I noticed when I was researching for favorite verses, I think that there is a unintentional negative view of this, even the people that provide Bible searches for us on the internet. Because you know what happened when I looked for a search in the internet for happiness in Bible verses? You know what I found? Don't pursue the fleeting pleasures of life, and don't be fleshly, and this and that. All negatives towards, and I was thinking, is that really the message of the Bible, is to not ever experience life and joy and fulfillment and those sort of things? Certainly it is not. But I think that shows what our tendency is. And the characters that I think of is Samson. Samson was always chasing after the next adventure. Now, it got him into a lot of trouble, but he was always chasing after the next adventure. And then King Solomon. King Solomon, when you read his wisdom books, he wanted to experience everything there was to experience under the sun. Every single thing that could be experienced, he wanted to experience that. But it got him in a lot of trouble because he married about 1,000 women in the process. Favorite verses of theirs that they might notice, Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. They probably love that verse. Proverbs 15:13. A glad heart makes a cheerful face, but by sorrow of heart the spirit is crushed. They probably love that verse too. But the verses they probably need to hear is Matthew 5:4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Proverbs 21:17. Whoever loves pleasure will be a poor man. He who loves wine and oil will not be rich. Because sometimes if we constantly pursue pleasures, we never get down to business and do the work that is necessary to bring provisions and those sort of things. Will you stand with me? Worship team, will you come and prepare to lead us? The dangers that a Joylens person might face is a struggle to grow and to mature. Because again, it's the scars that mature us. And they're constantly looking to try to chase away the scars. The dangers for a Joylens person is surprisingly relational connection. Though they have a great ability to connect with people on the surface, they sometimes struggle with one-to-one, deep, intimate relationships. Dangers of a Joylens is they can sometimes enter into a state of panic. Because if things are not falling into a good direction, if things are getting hard, they will want to to run. Maria is not this, but it makes me think of Maria when I was being a jerky perfectionist and demanding very clean house the other day. She was cleaning for a while, and you know what she said to me? She came into the kitchen and she said, "I've been working really hard. Can I stop?" And I look around and I see all the stuff still over the floor. and I said, "Well, it's not done yet, though." She's like, "I worked really hard, though." And maybe that says more negative about me than it does her. But if you show them a bad experience, if you show them I have to face something that's challenging, sometimes they're like a deer in headlights. They're very creative when it comes to other things, but when it comes to getting out of a dark place, it's hard for them. In fact, it is said that these people are the worst people to see crash, because when they finally have to come to terms with there is something that's sad, it's hard for them. But the great potentials that they have is the amazing creativity that they bring to the body of Christ, the energy that they bring to a group. I'm telling you, you don't underestimate energy, okay? The amount of relational energy that can be brought into a group will affect the growth of that group. As much as we might have great teaching, we might sing great worship, we might have people who really care about people, there is something to be said about energy in a room. And you know that you felt it when you've entered into a room, a group of people to hang out with them, and there was no life in the room versus the place where there was life in the room. Which place do you want to go back to? The place that has life. And we need to make sure that every time we have someone walk into this place that we think is goofy, we think is not serious, we think that they're just too energetic, too hyperactive, try to become more like them. Isn't that a scary thought? And try not to try to get them to not be who they are, because it's not sinful to be playful. I lay down all lesser things for greater things. I've over the course of teaching this series, I've had a couple of people come up and ask me some questions. And a couple of times the answer had to be, because they were asking me, "When you said this, what am I supposed to do with that?" And I love having the answer. I always love having the answer. But for them, I had to say, "I have no idea. God has to show you what you need to do with that." Because there are some lessons that are across the board. And then there are other lessons that it depends on what's going on in you that determines the reaction that needs to take place. And so some of you, in a moment, I'm going to ask the team to lead us. And let's that lay down all lesser things. Let's start with that part of the song. And only you know what it is you need to lay down at this altar. Some of it you need to lay down fear. Some of it you need to lay down your unwillingness to become disciplined. Some of it you need to lay down your willingness to go into difficult places. Some of it, there's things that you've been taking very seriously that you need to not take as seriously anymore. And I have no idea what it is. Not the slightest idea. But I bet that there are people that are standing here right now that you know exactly what it is that you need to let go of. And so as they lead us in this, let us say this with our hearts, that for the sake of the kingdom of God, for the sake of being one with other people, let's lay down the lesser things, the trivial things that really don't matter. They matter to us for some reason, but they really don't matter, to pick up greater things. Wouldn't it be great if I let go of the thing I've been taking so seriously and we saw revival take place? The person that you've been praying to get saved, the relationship you've been praying to get healed, wouldn't it be great that you laid down something that you held so dearly and you took so seriously, and that relationship got healed because of that, or that person got saved because of that? Sometimes the things that we're holding on to are getting in the way of what God wants to do. And again, I don't know what that is for you, but you do. So let's lay down all the lesser things for greater things. Come if you feel Him leading you. So again, I don't know the things that you need to let go of, but I imagine that many of us have a lot of things we need to let go of. Again, what if the thing that you're holding in your hand that you've been clutching to so much in order for you to have control, make things the way that you think they should be, to prevent uncomfortable encounters, to feed into your sense of well-being? What if the thing that you're holding on to, it's to make you feel safe? See, there are some things that we're holding on to because I feel I need this to be safe. Where do I throw that bear at? Oftentimes, children will have stuffed animals, and even though it's a lifeless object, it gives some kind of emotional security to them. And many of us adults are walking around carrying a stuffed animal with us. We just don't know it. Many of us are holding on to things because it gives us some type of emotional security and safety. And really, Jesus needs to be that for you. Not your ability to be in control of the situation. Not your ability to fix it. Not your ability to make things peaceful. Not your ability to make things fun. Not your ability to accomplish and do great things. Not your ability to be different. Not your ability to know a lot. Not your ability to prevent things. You need to trust in Jesus. Because if we're not trusting in Jesus, are we saved? Are we really followers of Jesus if we're not trusting in Him instead of these other things? And I'm telling you, God wants to bring an awakening to you and to us. And I said this last week, and the person who asked this is not here. I was going to explain it to them personally, and then I was going to explain it to them today, and they're not here to hear this explanation. I said that when revival comes, it's going to be messy. And this person didn't understand what I meant by that, and I didn't have the time to explain it to them then. But I want to explain it to you again. What I mean by it's going to get messy if God brings revival is, one, because that means that people who are not saved are going to come in here. People who don't know Jesus yet, people who newly have come to know Jesus, and they're going to have loads of issues. Mm-hmm. And they're going to do things and say things. I don't know if I want to say this or not. I was in an encounter in the church, and someone new to the faith used a swear word. And I've taught you this in different formats. My reaction was I didn't do anything about it. But other people's reaction, I could see the looks on their face. And when someone comes to know the faith, they might not know that I'm not supposed to say that word. Or I'm not supposed to wear those kind of clothes. And guess what, you fixers? It's not up to you to fix it either.
That's right.
And there's not a timetable. It's not I won't fix it their first Sunday in, but about 3 weeks in, I'm going to have to fix this thing. No. And revival is going to bring messes our way. It's also going to bring messes because as much as we think we're people of the Spirit, we're going to get all excited, we're going to get worked up about things that God's going to do, and then we're going to begin to run like crazy and run off course and do something that's crazy and fleshly and demand things and think that I heard from God because I've been hearing from God so much lately, and now everything I hear is from God, and we're going to mess things up. Does anybody mess anything up sometimes? Do you ever mess things up? I mess things up all the time. It's just I'm stuck doing it in front of you guys. And that's what I mean by messy. It is we are all a work in progress. None of us have been perfected yet. And the reason why I've been teaching us to understand different perspectives is because if I can't learn to be understanding of other people, I'm going to isolate, alienate, and condemn when it's not necessary to do so. And I want us to learn how to not do that. And the other thing is going to be, and I think that this sometimes has been the reaction to my teaching here, is just because that's who you are doesn't mean you have to walk in all the flaws of who you are. Okay? So if you're a power lens person, it doesn't mean you have to get control of everything just because that's who you are. If you're a perfectionist, it doesn't mean that you have to fix everything. That is the hardest thing for me sometimes. To see something that needs fixed and to go, I'm not going to fix it. Do you understand? Some of you, I think, understand what that feels like. That is hard, to look at something that needs fixed and not fix it. But I need to learn to not fix things sometimes. And some of you need to not be in control of things sometimes. Some of you need to not be having fun sometimes. And we need to learn from each other, because everybody in this room is loaded with value. And you know what I do sometimes, and I've told you this before, when we're worshiping, I look around and I instantly recognize, oh, wait, so-and-so, they're not here. So-and-so, they're not here. So-and-so, they're not here. And it's not because it's wait till I let them have it for not being here, or I want to make them feel guilty because they're not here. It's because what they bring to the body is not here today because they're not here. And every single person, even the most annoying people in your life, do you know some annoying people in your life? They have unlimited value and potential in them because God made them. And I would love to live in a church family where every single person we encounter, we go, you're different than me, but that's awesome because you have a lot of good qualities I don't have, and I need to learn from those. In every single encounter we have with someone, we say, you know what? I think that you have potential for, and I want to do whatever I can to help you with that. Wouldn't you love to hear that message? Then will you stop doing that? And there are things we need to stop doing, for sure. Sin. Not personality tendencies. People are who they are. Being fun-loving, being serious, being unique, being aggressive is not sin in and of itself. And we need to make sure that we don't lay, because who was it that labeled things sinful that were not sinful? The Pharisees. And you saw how much Jesus loved them. And you saw how much he demonstrated that they were going to heaven, right? And so in the coming weeks, next week, we'll wrap up the way the body works together. And then soon, I'm going to teach you how you're not saved. not entirely. You're saved, some of you. But we're going to find out what the true definition of salvation is, because I need to know if I'm actually going to heaven. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to just talk myself into believing I'm going to heaven. We need to know we're going. And we need to make sure we're saved. We need to make sure we're filled with the Holy Spirit and we're flowing with what God is doing. And we're going to see a great thing happen. Don't you want to see a great thing happen? So let's not be so buttoned up, and let's be a little more disciplined, whatever it is that God is calling you to become more like him. Thank you, Lord, for the work you do in us. And we ask that you would help us to be able to be, or to walk the way that you walked in this life. When you walked in this world, you said, I only do and say the things my Father tells me to do and say. So help us to become more of you and less of us, so that the name of Jesus will be glorified. Make Bethel a place that is life-changing, life-giving, comforting, exciting, hardworking. All the traits of God would be exhibited among us as a group. Because some of us are feet, some of us are eyes, some of us are ears, and we need the collective whole to truly reflect you to the world. So make Bethel that, in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Love you. Have a wonderful week.